Good. Lars?
Just to underscore the link to the priests. In Numbers 17, verse 8, the almonds are mentioned where Aaron's staff budded. And it said, the next day Moses entered the tent of the testimony and saw that Aaron's staff, which represented the house of Levi, had not only sprouted, but had budded, blossomed, and produced almonds.
Very good. And just before, and Steve's got a point, but I just want to connect this, because we looked at the deity, and then we looked at that it speaks of resurrection. But we need to see that before there was resurrection, there was the suffering. And that's where the beaten, the fact that this gold was beaten out, that speaks of the suffering of the Lord Jesus. And then comes the fact that the resurrection. So we need to just see that, and that would probably remind us of many passages. One I'll just mention, Isaiah 53, for example, that certainly speaks of his suffering. There are many, many others, and we don't need to spend time looking at those, except I would just say this. When I was a boy, I remember brethren speaking much about the sufferings of Christ. I don't hear much about the sufferings of Christ anymore. And I think that we lose something by not being occupied with the sufferings of Christ. And we like the fact that he's glorified. But if we spend more time on the sufferings of Christ, I remember watching older brethren when I was younger speaking about the sufferings of Christ, and they would just be up there with tears coming down their face as they spoke about the sufferings of Christ. And you know, that affects your heart. Mm-hmm. And if we spent more time with the sufferings of Christ, we'd have less time fighting with each other and arguing with each other, because we'd see for whom Christ suffered and died for. So just that little word of admonition. Steve, go ahead.
Yeah, just still on the same line of the almonds. It's interesting to benefit from the illustrations or the other references to almonds. I think, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think that the first actual reference to almonds is the lampstand itself. I don't know of any other earlier reference in Genesis or Exodus where almonds are mentioned. And so it's almost as if, a little later in Numbers chapter 17, when those almond blossoms came, like we look back at that and say, oh, look, the almond blossoms came on the rod, and that indicates that there was resurrection from something that was dead. Probably to the Israelites, what would they think of when they saw that rod? The first thing they say, hey, that's like the candlestick. That's like the lampstand. I did it too. That's like the lampstand. And so really, God gives the glory of almonds first, you might say. And then the reminders come later on to say, oh yeah, that's something that God gave in the lampstand. My Bible has a note that almonds blossom very early. That they blossom while many other trees are still dormant. That's not something that I know about, but I'll take the word for it of the author of that note. So that in itself, too, just naturally speaking, that would be known to those who would see this. And then so we receive God's emphasis on these almonds, and then later on, when these other events would come in Numbers and in Jeremiah, the necessity of appreciating what an almond would represent and what it would remind us of. God had already established it. Just to kind of give the chronology of it, we have the benefit of looking of it all at once, but probably when people would see that rod of Aaron, for example, they would be reminded. That brings us back to God's lampstand, and that's where God started that reference to almonds.
Go ahead.
Just another reference, not reference, but because we had an almond tree at home, it does blossom before the other trees, and actually it blossoms before the leaves comes, and the blossoms are white, so the whole nice. Tree will be just white. So, just point this.
Good. Okay, so we have his deity, and in the lampstand, we have the suffering, and we have the resurrection. Okay, all this is seen in the lampstand. What else do we see that is significant? Let's maybe Well, we talked about the almonds and the knobs and the buds. What else do we see that stands out as you look at that passage? Mark's got something.
There are seven branches. Well, six branches and one in the middle. And okay. I'm not a big numerology guy, but for my numerology people, seven indicates completeness. And so you have complete testimony in the Lord Jesus Christ. How do we know who God is? How can we really understand who God? He is the image of the invisible God. And so he brings light to show the complete perfection of all that God is.
Any other thoughts on that point?
There's one other mention of almonds that occurs. It's a very small mention that occurs in Genesis, but I think it speaks very consistently to some of the things that we've been talking about. In Genesis chapter 43, it's included in the gifts that Israel sends to receive back his sons. In Genesis 43, it says, 43 verse 11, "Then their father Israel said to them, 'If it must be, then do this. Put some of the best products of the land in your bags and take them down to the man as a gift. A little balm and a little honey, some spices and myrrh, some pistachio nuts and almonds.'" And you can see there that there is, and if you go further down to verse 14, it says, "And may God Almighty grant you mercy before the man, so that he will let your other brother and Benjamin come back with you. As for me, if I am bereaved, I am bereaved." And so there's this aspect of it's included in the store of gifts that's intended to secure mercy, which I think has a strong consistency with all the things that has been said.
Good.
Just in connection with the completeness of the light, we've made comment that the location of the lampstand is across from the table of showbread, but actually we don't have that information in Exodus 25. So I just wanted to turn to Exodus 26 so that we could really see that this is the case. Exodus 26 and verse 35. Mm-hmm. This is sort of, this section of Exodus 26 is kind of saying, here's how to set up the tabernacle. And so from verse 33 and on, it's talking about hang the veil and bring in the ark of the testimony and so on. Verse 35, it says, "You shall set the table outside the veil and the lampstand across from the table on the side of the tabernacle toward the south, and you shall put the table on the north side." But then turning back to Exodus 25, I hope I don't go too fast into this related point. I think, Tim, you can hold me back if you need to. But back in Exodus 25 in verse 37, when it talks about these seven lamps, these seven lamps, it says, this is a very peculiar expression to me. I'm not sure just how to picture it, but it says, "They shall arrange its lamps," verse 37, "you shall make seven lamps for it, and they shall arrange its lamps so that they give light in front of it." That's the New King James expression. Other translations may put it a little bit differently. "So that they give light in front of it." So obviously, on the one hand, it was illuminating. It was the only source of light in that whole space, that whole enclosure. So it was illuminating everything. But it did have this primary purpose of somehow giving light in front of it. So whether the top of the branches had the lamp arranged somehow so that maybe there was a reflection of the light directed forwards, or that the wick was placed towards, you know, angled or somehow directed towards the front portion of the lampstand, there was, it seems, a front of the lampstand. And it would matter which side was facing the table of showbread. And so in this case, in this viewpoint, we can emphasize that it's the completeness of Christ in his deity. No wood is connected with this lampstand. And it's illuminating, it's enhancing the glory, it's shedding light on the perfections of Christ in the showbread that we enjoyed yesterday. Before we got the lampstand, as we pointed out yesterday, none of the priests would have been able to enjoy the showbread's perfection. God would have enjoyed it. But now there's light. The light of Christ's deity, we might say, is illuminating and enhancing the perfections and the things that can be enjoyed in the showbread. So there is a direct link to its placement and a direct link to the table of showbread from yesterday.
You had a question there.
Go ahead.
You're saying, what was the reference for shine the light in front?
Exodus 25 and verse 37.